Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1. Let's have a word of prayer and ask God to bless this time too. Dear gracious Father in heaven, the Lord, we thank you and we bless and praise your holy name. Lord, we thank you for the word today, Lord. Like David said earlier, Lord, let us worship and keep our mind on you, the Lord. Pray today, the Lord, that you will be high lifted up, Lord. You said if you'll be high lifted up, that you will draw all men unto you, the Lord. Lord, you also said in New Testament, the Lord, take ye how you hear. So, Lord, that takes some pressure off the preacher. So I pray the folk will hear right. So, Lord, we just thank you today and help me to hear the preacher myself, the Lord. In Jesus Christ's name, we thank you for what you're going to do with your preached word today. Amen. I always try to put the watch there. Like I say, we'll try to keep up with time. Daniel chapter 1. I want to deal with a subject today dealing with boldness for the Lord, being bold for the Lord. Daniel is one of my favorite characters because of his boldness for Christ in a hostile situation. Now, we're familiar with Daniel. There's three main stories that you hear about Daniel. You hear about, you know, Daniel. The first part when he was kidnapped and he was brought before the king and he made a statement or request that he could not eat the king's meat, which was very dangerous. You know, a king is not like how we have a Democrat decide to hear. You know, what the king say goes, and if you say no, your head can get cut off. So that was very brave of Daniel. We know about Daniel having his time that he would worship God on a systematic, regular basis. Windows open and everybody knew about it, and he did that on a hostile environment because there was a new law that came up that said if you worship anybody else but this God, you know, the pagan God, then you're going to be dead. You're going to be toast. You're going to be thrown into the fiery furnace, okay? And so we heard about Daniel as he got older. Daniel was put in the lion's den for his commitment to God. But we see through all these things that Daniel was a bold commitment. I'm not going to go through all those stories. I'm just going to stay on one particular story and look at this particular story about Daniel. And we're going to look at chapter 1 about Daniel. We're going to see Daniel's, the name of the sermon is a bold role model for the Lord. And that's what we want to get from this. Remember in the New Testament, they said that Paul wrote and said, these things were written for our instruction. They were not just, you know, an example. They were not just written for us to say, you know what, man, that guy preached good today, and that was good. He really exegeted the word. That was kind of good. No, it's more than for that. It's for you to look at that and see what can I glean from this. So to put back in my life, it's the big so what. You know, I read this, I heard this today, this for me too. When I go home, what does that have to do for me? So what do I have to do? See, God is speaking every time the preacher is preaching. Now, I'm not ego tripping. I'm just saying if a Sunday school teacher, whoever, a little child teaching, God is speaking during that time. And when God speaks, God don't just speak for you to have a little devotional, nice little feeling. Even though you might get a feeling, that's okay. But he is speaking for you to do something. When he spoke to Moses, he wanted Moses to do something, go deliver the people. Every time when God spoke to Jonah, he wanted Jonah to go deliver a message. Every time God speaks, he wants you and I to do something about it. So he wants you to do something today. So we're going to look at the first chapter. It's got three major points I'm going to look at. We'll have some minor points under major points, but not going to be all day, but three major points we're going to look at today. You know, we're going to see from Daniel's life that the world wants the best of you. That's the first part we're going to look at. The world wants the best from you. We're going to see also from Daniel's life what he had to fight against too. We had to be bold against and stand up against is that the world wants to brainwash you. The world wants to brainwash you, and you must be aware of that. You must fight against that brainwashing. Point number three we're going to look at that you must make up your mind before time. Before time. You must make up your mind or purpose in your heart before time that you are going to fight this. You're going to fight this battle. You're going to win. You can't make it up at the last minute. We're going to see that. Now, basically, the background of this really starts back in the book of Deuteronomy. You say in the book of Deuteronomy? Yes, it does. The situation that the people of God were in, they were scared about. And you look in the history of Israel, and they were taken captive. okay, but you see that God was behind this. But if you go way back to Deuteronomy chapter 28, I'm not going to exegete that, but just give us a little taste of that. You know, you'll see how they got in trouble in Daniel chapter 1. Turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 28. I can't read all this, a lot of verses. So I'm just going to give you a taste. If you go back and do further homework on this, you'll see it really all began here. The people of God breaking God's covenant. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, from verse 1 to verse 14, God gives the blessings. These are things you'll do concerning the covenant, and I'm going to bless you. Now, one thing about God will make things perfectly clear. You know, when you see preachers fall, when you see different people disobey God and you see God discipline them, or you see them get hurt very badly, that's not because God is mean. God, you will see just from reading this, God gives clear, very clear instructions. I mean, God break it down. You know, God give blue light special instructions. You know what I mean? God has sent a prophet to warn. You can't say, I didn't know what happened. I didn't know, God. See, that was too confusing for me. You know, God put it way down there on the shelf for you, baby. If you just read this, I'm just going to read some of it, just give you a hint. It says, now it shall be if you will diligently obey the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments, which I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you will obey the Lord your God. Blessed shall be in the city. You shall be in the city. And blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall you be of the offspring of your body, the produce of your ground, and the offspring of your beasts, the increase of your herd, and the young of your flock. And he keep on. He just tell them how you're going to be blessed if you simply obey me. And they knew what the laws were. They knew what the laws were about meat. They knew what the laws were about intermarrying. God broke those down. I won't go and read those. They knew about those. Those things were written down. And the people knew them. They didn't need no big interpretation of those laws. Trust me. They were written down very clearly. Go back and read it yourself. Then the second half is a little longer. It names the consequences. 15, from verse 15 to verse 68. Break them down. Name it for you. See, name the claim for the one deal with that. Name it for you. This what's going to happen. But it shall come about if you will not obey the Lord your God to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, with which I charge you today, that all these curses shall come upon you. Curses shall be in the city. The curse shall be in the country. The curse shall be on your basket and your kneeling bowl. Curse shall be the offspring of your body. You curse over here, curse over there, curse down here, curse everywhere. You know, he's going to be curses all around you. He broke it down, okay? Yep. So, you know, everything sum up in obeying the Lord. And if you read other scriptures, you know, it will break down in detail some of those things. They were not blind. Everybody can remember the Ten Commandments. Everybody, you know, everybody know about these. They knew what to do. Yep. And they knew the consequence. God said, I'm not going to surprise you. You know, I don't, you know, God's a good father. He don't surprise you. He said, you know, he made things clear. A good parenting is the kids know the consequence beforehand. You tell them that, then they know. So you can, I don't like no surprise teacher. They spell it out. Some of the good teachers, they put on the board. They write it down, put on the board. Some of my best teachers, they spell it out. They knew and they made it clear and plain. The wishy-washy teacher, but I don't know. They don't have nothing up. They don't get nothing done. Make it clear, make it plain. So God did. So this is why in Daniel, you see that they are being taken over. Now, God has said this over and over again. I'll let other nations, you go back and read that in detail, you'll see how he said he'll let other nations dominate you, take you captive. But it took a long time, though. Now, the northern part, they went down quicker than the southern part. The southern part, if you read your Israelite history, they had more kings that wanted to do what God said, so it took them longer, you know. But eventually, I guess they gave in to peer pressure. Then they came on in too. They had to come on this too, you know. But it took them a little longer. If you read your history, you know, the kingdom was split apart. But eventually all of them got messed up. So this is a warning to us today. I'm not saying that America is God's country. I'm saying us as individual Christians, as the church, individually and as the local body together, we must obey God. So in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king, verse 1, chapter 1, in Daniel, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it, took it captive. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into the hand. See, the Lord gave it into the hand, to his hand, along with some of the vessels of the house of God. And he brought them to the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and brought the vessels into the treasury of his God. His God. His God. His God. And in verse 3, then the king ordered Aspenaz, the chief of his officials, to bring in some of the sons of Israel, including some of the royal family of the nobles. A youth, in verse 4, a youth in whom was no defect, who were good looking, showing intelligence in every branch of wisdom, endowed with understanding and discerning knowledge, and who had ability for serving in the king's court, and he ordered him to teach them the literature and languages of the Chaldeans. First point, the world wants your best. The world wants your best. We'll see that in verse 4. See, these guys were kidnapped. Let me give a little bit more background. See, these guys were kidnapped, and the first phase of the takeover, see, people just don't take over. You know, these just want a bunch of unorganized folks. They had a plan. See, the world got intent and content for you. It's twisted, but it got a plan for you. It's bad, it's perverted, but it got a plan for you, okay? They got something for you. So the first phase of this, they didn't just go over there and we're just going to get everybody. We're just going to kill everybody and just take folks. They had a plan, baby. They had a plan. The plan was to get the best. And see, they represent the Chaldean, the Babylon. They represent the world. And they got the best. Verse 4 said they got the youth in whom was no defect. And see, it was a part of a brainwashing thing. They wanted to get the best people first and to train them. And later on, they was going to use them to help dominate their own people. But we got to get these folks first. We got to get the best. What's your IQ test? What you made on the SAT test? Ain't that get anybody? They got the best. Look over here. It said, and they were good looking, showing intelligent. You know, you had to be good looking too. Some of them wouldn't have made it. All right, wait a minute. Anyway, I was just kidding. They were good looking, showing intelligent. So, you know, they had to look good. They had to be smart. I mean, it was like, you know, man, they had to have it going on. You just couldn't show up there, you know. We'll get you later. You know, some of y'all, we'll get you later. You know, oh, yeah, go. No, we'll get you later. They came and got the bad looking folks out there, okay? They got folks who knew how to walk, knew how to talk, did proper English, or whatever their language, not English, but, you know, whatever their language was at the time, that Hebrew language, I'm sorry. And understanding, discerning, knowledge. Look at all this stuff. So they had a plan. They had a plan. They got the best. They know they needed the best. And the world is like that. The world wants the best from you. The world wants your best. It wants it. It wants you while you're young, especially if you're young. If I could just get you while you're young, it want them to say youth. You know, you can serve God when you get old, and I hope that I live to serve God when I'm old. But I'm glad I got saved when I was in high school, though. And as I look back, I wish I would have got saved even earlier, be honest with you. But some folks I know sitting here, I got some young folks in here probably thinking, like a lot of young folks think, when I get old enough, I'm getting the heck out of here. I ain't telling nobody now. I'm under communist control from my parents. But when I get old, I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to secretly give the devil my best. I'm going to give him my body. I'm going to sneak as much as I can give him my body, my mind, and sex. You're giving that to the devil. No, that was a shenanigans last night. No, that's the devil. No, that's that good-looking guy last night. No, that was the devil. But he looked good, Mr. Man. But that was the devil. The Bible said the devil comes as an angel of light. But he's so fine. She's so fine. No, that was the devil. You don't believe me? Wait a little longer. Wait a little longer. What you mean? The devil gonna start showing his fame. Just a little bit. Wait a little longer. Because the Bible says sin is sweet for a season. Because right now you think, you know what? Whatever that sin may be, it don't have to be sex. I just named that as an example. Any kind of sin. Well, you know, as my youth, you know, I'm enjoying things right now. What are they preachers talking about? This preacher know what the heck he talking about. Man, sin is good to me. He just don't know. No. Okay, just for a little short season. But you're going to wake up, though, one day, shortly. It's not going to be worth it, though. That was your parents or some of the older folks trying to tell you. Been there, done that, they got a T-shirt. You need to ask somebody. You think they were born old? Think we were born old? We got the advantage. We were where you were at. You haven't got to where we are right now. We can see from both sides. Learn, listen. So a lot of people want to give it to the young folks. The devil wants you. The devil got a budget for you already written out. Do you know how big the budget is to get young folks to smoke cigarettes? Even the world had to fight itself about that. The world got so bad about getting young kids into smoking. They didn't know what was going on. Getting young kids into drinking alcoholic drinks and stuff. Some battles were going on and still going on now for your mind. They had these, before a lot of you were born, they had these commercials. They invented these cartoon characters with these cool drinks. Remember, they had the nice-looking polar bear, you know, drinking, you know, so to get you to, they trying to line you up, get the best of you, and suck all your money, start when you little. They had this camel thing. They had to outlaw that thing. They had this camel cartoon smoking cigarettes. He looked all friendly and stuff. He's trying to get you while you're young. You don't even know what's going on. He wants you while you don't have to stop that stuff. But he's still trying to do it. Even they say Disney Channel, nice Disney Channel, they say some of the stuff they slipping in there, trying to put some little hooks in there, get you ready for MTV, then get you ready for something else. You need to watch out and be careful. You know, and we see them, we get the little babies and stuff, we bring them, this summertime, we bring them to our family reunions and stuff, and you need to watch that, and we let them, I seen on TV one time, a little baby, she was dancing, doing some kind of booty dance to a bunch of, she had on her daddy, thought that was cute, that's not cute. The devil's alive, somebody better not, and one of my cubs, my relative, get one of my twins, start making them dance, being insane, I'm gonna get them. They want you while you're young, they want you to start while you're young. And God will understand it, so you got to watch out that. You got to watch out for that. You should be bold, and you should say no. Some of you guys not saying no. Some of you think it's cute. Don't forget now, you got when you look at stuff, you got to look at it when they keep doing it, you got to look at it with an eye on the future. How that's going to look years from now. And we don't do that. So the world wants you while you're young. Give it to God while you're young. I wish I would have got even saved even when I was younger. Even younger than high school. Thank God. But so you got to look at that. So you got to say no right now. But you got to say yes to Jesus. You just can't say no to the devil. You just can't say no to the world. You got to have a biblical alternative. You got to say yes to Jesus. You got to have something to fill that vacuum. Just can't say no and let, I'm going to have a boring time. You got to have a godly, righteous agenda and say yes to Jesus. That's the key. But you need to watch out. The world wants you while you're young. It wants the best of you while you're young. The world wants to brainwash you. All right? Now listen to this. And the king appointed for them verse 7. They want to brainwash you. The commander of the officials assigned names to them. And to Daniel, he assigned the name Belshazzar. And to Hannah, Shadrach. And to Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. Sound like a Negro, but anyway, Abednego, that's an old joke. Anyway, we can go to Abednego, all right? And they didn't just give them names. This was part of the brainwashing. Right. Daniel means God is my judge. God is my judge, and the name they gave him, Bessasaz, I forget, tongue twisted, means to bear or protect the king. All right. Hanani means the Lord is gracious. Shadrach, the name that they gave him, is command of AQ, or that was another Babylonian god. And Michael means who is like God. That's the Bible name. But Meshach, the pagan name, is what is, who is, what Akkad is. That's that pagan god. Asarab means the Lord is my helper. Now his name became Abednego, which means servant of Nego, also called Nebo, a god of vegetation. So here's the brainwash. This was part of the brainwashing. You know, I was looking in the commentary and stuff. This was, most scholars believe this was part of a brainwashing thing. We're going to change your name. Now, names were a big deal back then, and over there, they're still a big deal. Now, you can tell that their parents were godly parents because they gave them those names. So they didn't just give them those names. So every time they say their names, they are saying something godly, and some godly truth is being spoken. And so the pagans knew this, so we're going to change your name. It was like the exact opposite of what it meant in the Hebrew. It was exact opposite. So every time you say your new name, that's going to remind you of this pagan god. So that was a part of their brainwashing them. Put them in their schools, changing their names, and stuff like that. It was part of the brainwashing. So it's very, very important in every detail. So the world is trying to brainwash you. Everything is not as innocent as it seems. Everything is not as innocent as it seems. The world has a plan to brainwash you. Everything you watch on TV is not as innocent as it seems. Just because something is rated G don't mean that G is for God. You got a lot of folks got a lot of little cute little ways to get you in white witchcraft. You have to still be discerning. They'll call it different stuff, but they're trying to brainwash you. They're trying to put in their values. You know, I saw this, what they got now? They'll show these animal cartoons and stuff. And I've seen this theme done over and over again, trying to make you accept everybody ungodly ways. And they'll have this poor little animal get hurt and everybody picking on him. But in that, they're trying to make you accept everybody ungodly ways. You can see it in there. You can see it in there. So you must be careful of the brainwashing. And you got to have yourself made up to do that. Now, they also, as you see in verse 5, they wanted them also, that comes to our third point, to eat certain things. See, God had the Jewish boys on a certain diet. And you see in verse 5, and the king appointed for them a daily ration from the king's choice food and from the wine which he drank, and appointed that they should be educated 3 years, just 3 years of college, okay, at the end of which they were to enter the king's personal service. So they was even telling them what to eat. They had the king's choice meat. They had the best. So I'm sure that it tastes good. I'm sure that when they were hungry and they put that spread out there and they had that pork chop sandwich fried or however you like it made, smelling, I'm sure that it was a temptation. They had no like everybody else, you know. I'm sure they had it. It was like, okay, maybe mama, dad not here. Maybe I can do this, you know. I'm sure it smelled good. It was the top of the line, okay? It was, you know, it was like going to the best restaurant in Atlanta. It was the best that could be made. It was the king's choice meat. And they were in a hostile environment. Don't forget that now. So I can see some of it would have been easy for some of us to compromise this time. Well, you know they made me do it. They made me. They made me do it. Preacher, I taught them. They made me do it. No. Look at Daniel's response under all that pressure. Under all that pressure now, like I said, this wasn't a democratic society. This is where the king spoke. You didn't do what the king said. Bam, you get your head cut off. But look at Daniel's response. It says in verse 8, but Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself. He made up his mind that he would not defile himself. Now, I looked at that word. That word, defile, that's a powerful word. It means to badly stain. To badly stain. Now, some of you women, I want you to imagine, men too, your favorite shirt, pair of clothes, or whatever. And you had this with red or purple. Somebody get it and dash that on it. You would be mad. That would test your religion at that time, too. That would be a defilement to you, you know. Or somebody got it to give a stronger spiritual picture, let's say it was waste or something. All right. A store up or something. You had your prettiest piece of clothes, silk or whatever, made out of, think of whatever you like the best. You like the way you take the outfit out all the time. Some blah, or someone urine on it or something. That would be a defilement. I'm trying to, Ms. Man, that rough, but I'm trying to get you to see the power of that word, defilement. Yes. He didn't want to defile himself. I remember a guy, it was two guys, I remember fussing in the dormitory, and one guy got the best other guy, they were Jonah, believe it or not, he even had a Bible college, but everybody did not say he had a Bible college, I told you that before. Right. So the one guy got the best of the other guy. This other guy from Africa, I don't even believe he was sad, he just came over there to sneak over there just to get in America anyway. But anyway, the one guy got the best of the other guy. The other guy had a robe that his granddad had given him. You know, when your granddad or somebody passed something down to you, it's something special. So the other guy had out Jonah, the guy from America, he won the Jonah contest. He just out Jonah that guy. African guy, he didn't know what to do. And next thing you know, he had to took his, snatched that guy's thing that he got from his bathrobe he got from his father without him knowing it, put it in the urine and urinated on it. I know that's nasty. That is the picture that I want you to get in your head for defilement of a garment. It was defiled. He didn't want it anymore. Yeah, I sure wouldn't want it anymore. Granted, there you go. I don't want that no more. Even it was defiled. And so what Daniel said in 8, he said, but Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food or with the wine which he drank. See, all that stuff in the world, it looks good to you guys. See, I'm sure that some of the young folks, you know, gangsta rap, Lil Wayne, walking with your pants, with your butt hanging out, with your underwear showing, and our adults, we got our version of that too. Pornography and nasty romance books or whatever it may be. With the devil, I'm just giving examples, but you know that thing that God don't want you to mess with, that the Holy Spirit point to you out, you know, kind of prick your heart about. And you try to rationalize, but that's okay. That thing is a defilement to God. That's worse than that guy urinating on that guy's grandfather's bathrobe to God. Daniel had that spiritual revelation. Now, even though it was the king choice meat, it looked good on the outside. It looked good in the world. But to God, it was defilement. And I hope that you and I will pray to God when we see things that we might be hooked on or pulled by that we can see. I can't make you see it. I can't make myself see it. We have to ask God to let us get a hold of revelation of things that are defiled. Things that we have that, you know, the world wants and the world is telling us, let me use it. Don't do that because you're getting it defiled. Get some holy defile your body. God don't want you to defile your body by watching different things and doing different things with it. Defilement. So Daniel had that picture in his mind. So when they brought this good-looking smelling food to him, it wasn't good-looking and smelling because in the spiritual world, Daniel saw what was going on. He saw defilement. Get that out of my face. Defilement. So that was key to Daniel. He saw it the right way. And if we look at the first part of verse 8, it gets one of the key things that I think that will help us to win our spiritual battles. And this is the last point, is the point of making up your mind. See, Daniel had that commitment. He had that look. He had the revelation before that time came. So when it came, it was easier for him to deal with it. His mind, I don't think his mind was made up right at that point. His mind was made up before. See, some translators say purpose in the heart. Some say he made up his mind, but it means the same thing. But it happened, I believe, before the situation came. So when the situation came upon him, it didn't have a strong effect. Now, if this situation was put before some old bootleg, half-walking person with God, you know, the smell would, I just take it. Hey, give it to me. Yeah. But when it come before you and you've been walking with the Lord faithfully, It's the same kind of thing don't shake you the same way. Because you got advance notice. You got advance commitment before time. You don't wait. Then decide, well, let me see what I don't know what I'm going to do. You should know what you're going to do before time. Now, not in an arrogant spiritual way, but in a rightful spiritual way. There's a right way before time, and you can say as you walk with the Lord by the grace of God, I'm not going to do that by the grace of God. That's a right spirit, and that's a right way to before time have your mind made up and be committed to say that. I'm not talking about the pharisaical or arrogant way. Well, I would never look at that. I would never do nothing like that. I'm talking about commitment to the grace of God by the power of God that you would not do that to shame God's name. That's the kind of commitment Daniel had before time. We got to make up our mind before time. Don't wait. It's just like these people that you see. I admire people in the world, not for the bad thing they do, but for people who have a commitment to their craft. I admire, don't get me wrong, that area about them. Even God does. That Jesus had that parable about that man who even though he was wrong, he admired that particular virtue about him. Remember the parable about the man that got fired? But he admired that particular thing about him that he took care of business, though. See, I admire people in the world like Tiger Woods, not his religion. I admire the fact that how he was dedicated and made up in his mind that he's going to be the best golfer in the world way down there. I admire that section about him that says something in that area only. I admire Michael Jackson for us. He's saying, I'm going to be the greatest entertainer. Please believe me, that area only. Okay? I admire, you know, one of my people that know me, I love to watch Bruce Lee movies. I admire the fact, and look at his bibliography, how long time ago he made up in his mind, I'm going to be the best martial artist. Then he did things that got him to be that way. Right over there. Just that part. People admire that. That's why they got these followings. There's something about a person that makes up his mind that this is where I'm going to go. So, you know, when it came time for those guys to do other things, if you read their bibliographies, they sacrificed to get that good. Yes, they had talent, but they sacrificed. But their mind was made up long time ago that's why I could do push-ups and dance and stuff, everybody else sleep and partying while I'm doing all this stuff over here. Their mind was made up long time ago. They had a vision. So when somebody came, I'm sure people came knocking on the door, hey, let's go do this and that, and other stuff was going on. No. I got to do this. I got committed. My mind is made up. So it wasn't a big temptation for them to be pulled away from what they were committed to because they knew what they wanted to do, and they knew how high it would take them. If they could do that for earthly things that will perish, what about us with our commitment and our relationship to the Lord? So Daniel wasn't moved by the king's stuff. He wasn't moved by his position. He wasn't moved by the fact that he was outnumbered everybody. He made up in his mind. People in Israel as a country, they had a problem with that. They went in this cycle with God over and over again. Obey, disobey, get back right, over and over again. What is it going to take for you and me to make up in our mind that we're going to follow God? Not to be perfect, but I'm talking about a lifestyle of commitment to God. I'll leave you with this illustration. I had Tracy's cousin, good friend of ours, witness to him, oh man, a long time ago. And at first, he was a guy, he's a role model to me now, but at first he didn't start off that way. You know, he lived a life of drugs and, you know, cocaine and crack or whatever, you know, and just drinking and lying and stuff, you name it, you know, every word he spoke was a lie, you know, and people may ask, when was he not lying? When he wasn't talking, you know, that's the kind of lie he was. The guy was lying in his sleep, you know what I mean? Him and another guy were joking about lying in his sleep. And so one day, you know, we got to my house and we prayed, it was years ago, to him to receive the Lord. Now, he had been in a car accident. He was in a bad car accident. Remind me of the people of Israel, how God would take them through different things to get them to repent. So he said, you know, we held hand and prayed, and he closed his eyes, and he said he received Jesus as his personal Savior. And then, you know, he would go to church, and then, you know, he would ask questions, but he always, always going to out-talk. You know people like that? Always try to out-talk. You know, you're trying to ask you about the Bible, then you start saying stuff. But what about this? Then we looked at his life, looked like he started backsliding. Maybe wonder, was he ever saved in the first place, okay? His life was wishy-washy. Now, I thought that first time he was going to be dedicated to the Lord because he got in a car accident. It wasn't no accident where the car was over here. His body was over there. He was in a fetal position. Like, he should have been dead. Right. But that then that wasn't good enough for my, that wasn't good enough for my boy. That wasn't good enough for him, you know. He got back. As soon as he got back together, you know, he was balled up for a little bit, but soon as he got back together, he started his thing again. It's been about maybe five or seven years passed by. So it looked like, oh, man, you don't look like you were not biting it. You're not really serious for the Lord, you know. He wouldn't stay to church. If he went to church sometime, he would leave time to church close, wouldn't try to stay for nothing extra. So one day, he got up, got ready to get on the bus, and, you know, just like in a regular soul brother, he saw the young lady he wanted to talk to, and he tried to talk to her. Got on the bus. Hey, that's how he sounded. And his voice sounded funny. He couldn't make himself talk right. He was trying to say, hey, babe, what's your phone number? Something like that, you know what I mean? But so he tried to talk to her again, and the word wouldn't come out right. The word would not just come out right. And she said, it was on Marta bus, like, okay, it's okay. It's okay. She was trying to get away from him. And what was happening was he was having a heart attack or a stroke, so it impairs your speech. He didn't know that, though. He didn't know that. So he trying to rap and having a heart attack. What's your name? I don't know. You know, he found out later on, you know, they put him in Grady, you know, he was having a heart attack. And so we went down there to see him in Grady, and he called us first. We thought he was playing. Hey, Trey, hey, he was talking slow and stuff. We thought he was playing, you know, because he lying stuff. We found out he was real, so let's go see this guy and pray for him. So we went to go see him. He was laying up in bed. We prayed for him. He cried and everything, and he cried some more, and we were finally able to talk to him because he was one of them guys that every time I talked to him, but God slowed down his speech. I said, I got you now. The word of God said, he could say that, the word of God said, the word of God said, I was able to get him then. You know, he couldn't, I get about 50 sentences in before he get one word in. I got him. But it took all of that. Finally the brother got saved. Finally the brother, he got right with the Lord. It took that. I would say, I think he really got saved back then, but I think he did like Israel, he backslid it. And it took some more stuff to get his attention. Now his mind is made up that he's going to serve the Lord. Now, I've been watching him since that time. And the difference is this time, that brother catch the bus to go to church. He go to extra conferences. He's in this. He's in that. He's in a lot more stuff, and he's dedicated. He's trying to learn how to read better. He has a whole lot of commitments to the Lord. I mean, he would catch the bus in the hot sun to go to church, to go to conferences, to do this, and to share his testimony. Where the first time he made a verbal commitment, it wasn't real. This time, his mind is made up. My challenge to you is this, young and old. Yeah, sin is short and sweet for a season, and it's tempting. But the key is, will you take the challenge to be like Daniel, to boldly make up your mind before time? Or will God have to discipline you to a severe level? Now, God is a loving God, and Keith is glad that God finally got his attention. Oh, I shouldn't have said that name anyway. Anyway, but he's glad that God finally got his attention. But the thing is this, what is it going to take for you and I? God got the blue light special on some of you right now. You know exactly what particular thing that you need to drop that's staining you so you can have a better commitment to Christ. Take the challenge. Let's bow for a word of prayer. You need